Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we ask ourselves if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation, my thoughts on Donald Trump's plan to ban Muslims, which Jimmy Carter did something similar, which was praised, but he was a Democrat, so you know how that goes. Also, the White House. They're confused about why everyone's buying guns. Are there actions going on to ensure that a politics as usual person gets into the White House? Also, this PC America, these commercials that are being banned, that like in the 70s, they wouldn't have had a problem airing. Now all of a sudden, people have got hairs up their butt because of it. My thoughts on that. Also, Dems are still trying to ban guns, and the White House still can't grasp their fingers around why everyone wants them. I'll get into that. And also the pluses and minuses or the myths and truths behind celiac disease, as people I've seen sometimes give you more answers than questions or more questions than answers, depending on how you look at it. Also, Manchester United as they move forward into the Europa League. And much, much more. So welcome to the program, folks. And Psalm 107:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Think about that as you go through your day today. And welcome. What a week. Holy cow. Let me tell you, we got to get guns off the streets. We got to make them. We got to ban them. Well, actually, there's evidence now that Obama is trying to make an executive order to make it harder to go through more background checks and all this stuff when getting guns and more thorough checks. And what I really see happening is he's going to do that. And what he's going to put into something like where, okay, well, if you've ever been fired from a job, it's going to bar you from passing the background check to get a gun. He's going to make up ridiculous, if he does this, things. He's going to make it so impossible. Okay, well, yeah, you were fired from a job, because you're probably mad at the job, so you're wanting to get this gun to shoot. Dude, that was 10 years ago, sir. I don't make the rules. If you've been fired, you can't get a gun. Sorry, you can't apply for a permit. And then what you're going to do, you're going to get it off the black market. Like what happened in San Bernardino, let me tell you something. They really were vetted, weren't they? It's really amazing when Mia Brzezinski of Morning Joe and MSNBC actually doesn't agree with Trump and banning all the Muslims, but she says something needs to be done. The vetting process has to be changed because it obviously didn't work. People came into this country, but I'm waiting for her to actually say, well, wait a minute. Well, if they were vetted and everything and all the processes to screen them to ensure that they're not going to harm us when they come into this country. I wonder when they're going to go, well, wait a minute here. Well, then, let me see here. Well, they obviously didn't get the guns legally, so how would a ban affect anything? But that's never going to happen, They've got an agenda. And I think every once in a while, they creep over to the right side and just act like they're, hey, I diss Trump on this, but I don't think the plan in place is working. It's sort of like Obamacare, I don't think Obamacare is working, so let's make it a nationalized healthcare system. Let's make it a single-payer healthcare system. We're going to change Obamacare that was designed not to work in the first place into something that they wanted in the beginning, all along. Well, hey, they're not going to support a single-payer healthcare system, a nationalized healthcare system in this country. How can we turn it into that? How can we slowly take something that we can make sure is not going to work, and then slowly turn it into something that they will think is better. But in the very beginning, if you tried to push it, they wouldn't have gone for it. And that's what's, you know, Jimmy Carter banned Iranians when the hostage situation. Oh, but, you know, that's a different time. That's Jimmy Carter. He's a Democrat. You can't do that. That's not Christian of us. That's not American of us. Well, there are several Muslims that have spoken out in support of Trump saying, you know what? Safety comes before religion. Let me tell you, there have actually been Shiite mosques in the U.S. that have had death threats because they don't support what ISIS is doing. They stand against ISIS.
We say ISIS
here,
not ISIL.
Yeah. There's a big difference. That's why you only hear the president say ISIL. You know, ISIS refers to the Islamic State everywhere. You know, where ISIL is basically the Islamic State in Iran, in a little small. It's just nuts. I mean, that I don't want to ban anybody from this country, but, you know, I wouldn't want to ban Germans from this country during, well, actually I would want to, because what was it like during when Hitler was in power? It was a small percentage of the Germans that were the ones that were doing all the damage and that wanted control and wanted to kill everyone and the Jews and white supremacy and all this. The rest of the Germans were irrelevant. Bring over a million perfect Muslims. Who cares if 10 of them get over here and 10 of them kill 50,000 Americans? Percentage that didn't do anything were irrelevant. It's nice to see some Muslims actually standing up against ISIS and saying, hey, we don't support it. You know? But, I mean, you gotta look at it from a safety standpoint. You know, you got 10,000 gumballs in a machine. 10% of those are poisonous that will kill you. I'm not going to try to have one. I'm not going to try one gumball because who knows if I'm going to get one of the 10%. You know, I don't want to have, if there's a chance that one's going to be radicalized, I don't want to take that chance. Some people do. Some people want to take that chance. You know, at some point you have to say, okay, for a little bit, we can't accept nobody. Sorry. Our borders are closed. You know, but once in a while, you'll see like a Chris Matthews kind of say a little bit here and there for like 2 minutes at like, wait a minute, what the heck? But then, you know, and I think it's, well, hey, wow, he said that? You know, to maybe if, maybe to try to lure a conservative or Tea Party type person to wonder, you know, what he's going to say next. But, you know, in the end, they've got an agenda. They, you know, they're liberal. They're not, you know, but it's nice to see some people on the left kind of waking up and saying, hey, they went through all the processes that we have. It's very stringent to get in here, and they got to buy with it. But then, you know what? The average person, I believe, that's going to do the damage is probably someone that's going to be undocumented, that's going to come up through Mexico, that's not going to follow any rules. He's the one I'm concerned about. You know, sure, there's going to be tens of people, no matter how much surveillance you have, that are going to sneak in this country with a fake visa or whatever. It's the people that are going to sneak in through Canada or through Mexico illegally, undetected, that I'm worried about. And I do think there's a lot of, we gotta do something about Trump, because we gotta keep a politics as usual person in the White House. You know? We can't have a Ben Carson or him in there, because then we gotta try to do something. That's why I think in the beginning there was a lot of people running for GOP. And the Democrats are loving it because they're just sitting there fighting with each other. And they're just sitting back, oh, I'm in my lazy boy, I don't have to do nothing. We'll let them fight and I'll walk my way right into get a Democratic nomination. And because you got to remember, I'm Hillary Clinton, and we need a woman in the White House. That's why you should vote for me. But it doesn't matter anyways, because
I don't think a woman should be in the White House. I'm a woman.
Exactly. Anywho, I wonder where they get their news, because 90% of the college kids got their news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and they're not on the air anymore. But don't worry, there's some new guy, Trevor, I think it is, on Comedy Central that's like very, very progressive. So he's probably like taking the torch and just running with it, you know. Instead of getting someone that's objective, that would make fun of the right and the left. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, as my wife says, you know, someone that's very socialist progressive, he's considered objective. Well, that's what the media is now. It's not objective. The people are criticized that come out and say, hey, this is wrong. One of the most hated men on TV is Bill O'Reilly, but he's the most successful man on television because he calls it like he sees it. This is what the left did that's wrong. This is what the right did that's wrong. You know, I'm here to call what I see. If I think that George Bush did something wrong, I'm going to call him out, and I'm going to call him a liar, a skunk, everything. And if Obama does something wrong, I'm going to do the same thing. And that's, you know, that's rare, because most people that do that, oh, sir, we're CNN, we're the Communist News Network, and we have an agenda. Okay, we need to make the president look good. You will not make a Democrat look bad ever. You're getting written up and you might be suspended. We'll just make up that you told a story that wasn't true or something. We got to make something up, because God forbid we can't sit there and have you, you know, we can't just suspend you because you want to call out a Democrat. We can't, you know, we're objective here, or at least to the public. You know, that's the world we live in. I actually saw earlier, like about an hour before the show, I watched that Coke commercial that was supposedly banned, and it's a Spanish commercial, and they have like white people and almost like they're white privileged, and then they go down to this Mexican community and they take all these red boards and they make like a red tree, and they screw in these like caps that when they screw them in, lights behind them come on, and it's like a Coke tree or something. I guess it was banned. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with it, but, you know, the way society is today, you know. I remember, I think it was this year for my wife's birthday. I went to Party City, and it had like these videos from 1980, 1985, and it's like the year of your birth, and you can see who was born and all different things. And you know, I got hers. And it was from 71, and they had a Chiquita banana commercial where the banana peels back, and there is a guy blacker than coal that's inside the banana and singing. And I'm like, you couldn't get away with a commercial like that today. You'd be having lawsuits and everything. But back then, it was acceptable. It was hysterical. It's like, I can't say it on air, but if you ever saw Clerks 2, where he does the PM skit, you know, where I'm sick and tired of people calling me and Dante a bunch of PMs, you know, you can't say that, Randall, and he goes off because he uses that term, you know, and my mom's like, when we were kids, all that, you know, there was what you would now call a racial slur. There was probably something like that that you could call a white person, a black person, a Native American, a Russian, a German, Asian.
If you were that, you were that.
Yeah, it wasn't like, well, okay, I'm a cracker. You know, or whatever, you know. But it's just the changing of the time. That I guess people don't, I don't, it's just, it was hilarious, because like some of these things, like some of the things when you see some of those old commercials, like when you go back to the 60s and the Flintstones were brought to you by Winston Cigarettes, you know, Oh, you like those Winston cigarettes there, Mr. Flintstone? That's right, Rocky, my boy. You know, I mean, you would never think of... Because they have these videos, which I think are really cool, where they have kids and they, like, try to get them to play a tape cassette or have them try to use, like, a computer from the 80s or use a record player and all this. And they showed them all these old cigarette commercials, and they couldn't believe it. Like, cartoons, advertising, I'm like, well, it's a different era. But it's just amazing how the times change. Some of these things that now people get a hair up their butt for, 20 years ago, no one would have cared. I mean, back in the 80s, Ronald Reagan would have been like, okay, we need more guns. We need to be armed. We need to protect ourselves. Now it's like, well, we need to ban guns because, you know, they're causing all the problems.
Ronald Reagan would have bombed that
one. Oh, I know. Syria wouldn't, I mean, you would have to buy a new Rowley's map because the world map wouldn't have Syria on it. It'd be gone. But see, well, we still got to do more research on this global warming because we're not really, I mean... We don't really know yet if we should bomb. Really? It should be in there. There should be a nuclear warhead on. Bang. Goodbye. Yep-er. No, we're not cold-hearted Christians. No, but, I mean, you know, it's nuts that, like, everyone's jumping down. Everyone's still over the littlest thing. You know, when my wife has Native American in her and she's not offended by her, I would love to know who Native American-wise, who is a Native American that's offended by the term redskin?
I'm proud of it.
I know.
I'm
I know. I just wonder who's, because, I mean, of course, it has to be someone from that culture that's offended by that term. I know blacks are offended by the N term if a white person uses it.
That
all day long. I mean, when you think about how many blacks are killed by blacks in Chicago in a year, hundreds, and they don't care. They don't. Black lives only matter when a white guy kills a black guy. Then they gotta care. I mean, that's what I don't get. You know where? You know, I don't understand. I guess I'm glad I grew up when I did. When I was taught to respect everybody, even the janitor, you gave him respect. Thank you for, you know, I guess that's what the restaurants do to you. They teach you respect because, let me tell you, you try to run a kitchen without a dishwasher and you have to go back and start scrubbing pots and pans and doing the plates and running them through the machine, you'll find out how quickly he is. It's a weird system because, like, you can't miss anybody. You know, if you're missing this person, It's a link out of a chain. You know, how can you put a necklace around you if there's a link missing and you can't connect it? It's not connected. You know, you're missing a link. And, you know, and I was brought up in an age where you respected everybody, no matter what. You know, the janitor to the CEO, you gave him the same respect.
You respected everybody. It's just something...
No, it's just nuts. I mean, I'm just, that's why I'm not PC, never will be, you know. Plus, I grew up and I don't want to say this to all my friends out there, Happy Hanukkah. I think it's like the third or fourth night of lighting the menorah. I wish you the best. You know, when I grew up, you could have said, like, Happy Kwanzaa or Happy Hanukkah or Merry Christmas, and I wouldn't even have been, I mean, there was nothing wrong with it, okay? You know, if he's Jewish, he's gonna, you know, oh my, he said Happy Hanukkah, how does that, how does, I'm sorry, but how does a cross force you to become a Christian? I don't know how atheists, but that cross is offending me because it's forcing a religion on me. How is that forcing, okay, if there is a Star of David that's out in the desert somewhere, you know, it's a monument to Jews that died trying to find gold out there or something, I don't know. I'm just hypothetically saying, okay, if I was offended by the Star of David, I can turn my head. I don't have to look at it. I'd be like, well, I'm going to honor those people for what they did, you know, whether it was trying to find oil or whatever. you know. Oh, but since it, you know, I'm just, I don't know. I guess my point of this rant is I don't understand today's society. I don't get where everyone's got a hair at their butt about every little thing. Well, I'm offended because I'm offended. And so it'd be like trying to open up a restaurant. If you wanted to open up a true allergen-free restaurant, folks, the only thing you could serve is water. Because since you're made of like 2/3 of water in your body, no one can be allergic to it. And if you were, you'd be dead already. That's the only thing that I think you could actually serve and call it an allergen-free restaurant and get away with it. But then you probably have someone, I'm allergic to drinking out of glass or plastic. Because there's a lady in New York that I guess tried to do an allergen-free bakery and couldn't. She just had to take, like, here's the 10 most common allergens and just eliminated them. Because every time she turned around, someone would be allergic to this or allergic to that. It just never ended. And it's just, I don't know. I guess a lot of this goes back to, like, Jimmy Carter. When he was praised for Iranians and banning them during the hostage crisis. But you know what? Oh, we can't ban Muslims now. Look at all these good ones. Jimmy Carter wasn't saying, well, they weren't screaming, well, look at all these good Iranians. There's some good ones. There's some pro-American ones. We can't ban them all because of a few good ones. They weren't shouting that. They were like, hey, I'm sorry, but guess what, folks? We're banning them all. End of story. It's just ridiculous. This world just getting be, you know, because Democrats are still trying to ban guns. When are they going to learn that? Okay, I was off Tuesday and Wednesday, and I went out many times. So did my gun. No one died. You know, I have a gun for the same reason I have a fire extinguisher in my kitchen. Pray to God I don't need it, but when I do, it's there. The White House has come out, the White House, like that press secretary sounds like Mr. Obvious. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Mr. Obvious? Speaking? Hi, Mr. Obvious. I'm a long-time listener. I'm first-time caller. Well, thanks for calling in. What can I do for you? I got a question. I don't know why all these Americans are buying guns. Well, caller, it's very simple. You know, we have threats against this nation. People want to kill us. People want to feel protected. People don't want to sit there when there's mass shootings going on with a phone. Hello, 911? I can't really talk real loud because, you know, they might hear me. We need help. They want to at least try to, okay, I'm going to try to get away from the situation, but if I'm too close to where I can't, maybe I can try to do something, because most people that have guns actually go to the range and practice, and But hey, banning alcohol during Prohibition, that really eliminated alcohol. There was not one day when alcohol was banned that it wasn't in this country. It was still in this country. And I'm not just talking about the blood of Christ during a Catholic mass, the wine that you drink. I'm not talking about that. Liquor was available every day during Prohibition. Oh, but it was banned, so, we gotta make background checks. We gotta make background checks harder to get a gun for the person that's gonna obey the law, because the person that's gonna break the law is not gonna get a gun legally. Yep, but they try to act like it does, you know. I will never understand why they keep trying to ban guns, you know. But then I bet you $100 half of the Democrats have somebody that drives them around that's armed with guns, that protects them. They probably own them, you know. Yeah, I know. It's like Al Gore preaches all this, like, electricity and all this, like, like global warming, we need to do all this stuff, and then he uses more electricity in 1 month than most people use in like an entire year. But, you know, he's preaching like, we need to save electricity. I mean, there was actually a usgovernment.org website, a .gov website, that was like giving tips to spend time with your, you know, for like father son things to do during like Father's Day. And it talked about like shaving together, you know, and brushing your teeth together. And it made sure to indicate that you should shut the water off in between, like, you know, you get your brush wet, you shut the water off, then you brush your teeth. And then when you're ready to spit, you spit out the soap, and then you rinse your brush out, and you don't, make sure you don't leave the water on. It had all these like helpful energy saving, water saving tips. You know, they have to throw that global warming energy saving stuff in there when 3/4 of them have multi-million-dollar homes, fly Lear jets that use thousands of gallons of flight. And, but, you know, they don't follow the rules that they want us to follow. But hey, what do I know? You know. But it's the truth, folks. It is. Don't ask me. Just ask Archie Bunker. Wow. Oh, there's one thing I want to get into. I'm bad with names, and this lady, she's actually from the Metro Detroit area. I'll spell it because I'm really bad with names. It's RAGHDAALI. Ally. It's a Radasha. She's a Muslim, and she had one of those like religious scarves over herself and went into an Advance America cash advance place. And they pointed to the dress code, and she's, I guess, filing a suit because of discrimination. And I can't take this off due to my religious beliefs. And da da da. I'm like, well, due to safety, you cannot have anything covering your face or hair. No hats, no sunglasses, no nothing. For safety reasons. Because if I put that, one of those scarves on like she had, I could walk in there. You don't know if I'm a man or a woman because you can't really tell. Some of those, you can only see the eyes. It's for safety reasons. They don't. It's not a necessarily great part of the city. But she's all PO'd and she's like, but, yes, it's yes. This is, and basically what it boils down to is it's not religious based at all. Okay, my bank has a no hat rule. You know, you probably can't even wear a yarmulke. Oh, but, you know, that's just, you're discriminating against Muslims. Well, nope, that's not the case, folks. Sorry, but that's not the case. You can't have hats. It's for security people purposes, so that when someone goes in there and starts shooting the place up, they can try to identify them, you know. But whatever. Who knows what she has on under that, you know. I'm sure the veil thing, like the back, like the veil thing that nuns wear, I'm sure they would have to take that off. And a nun would probably, okay, yeah, it's part of my garment, you know, but I'll take it off because I respect their laws. You know, if I was to go into a mosque or if I was to go into a synagogue or whatever, I would say, okay, what am I supposed to do? How do I not offend your religious beliefs? You know, if I go into a business, I'm going to follow the rules. When are people going to wake up to that, that that's what's going on? It has nothing to do with religion or anything, but yeah, you know, yeah. It's just hilarious because, like, she's filing a suit and all this, and I don't think she'll win just because of the circumstances behind that. And if you remember the lady, I'm trying to think of her name. Okay, let me see here. That lady from Walmart that did the whole story on Walmart and basically did she Yeah, her name is Paige Yore, Y-O-R-E, and she did the video where she said that this lady was yelling at this cashier and he was having issues and all this, and his dad died and she hugged him. Well, Walmart actually looked into the surveillance video, and they've actually, she was in the store, talked to the cashier, or the one that's supposedly the one that was involved, and his mom's still alive, doesn't know what they were talking about when they asked, like, how you doing since your mom died and all this stuff. So there's pretty much a lot of evidence that the story is a hoax, why she made it up, trying to get publicity. I have no idea. That's what I think it is, just trying to get publicity. But, I mean, do it in, I mean, that's, I don't know, it's just a lot. I mean, I guess I could see this is how you should treat people, you know, but if you're going to treat someone like that, but she hasn't actually come back to refute it and say, yes, it did happen. You know, she hasn't refuted it. She hasn't come back and, you know, from what we've researched, she's not telling the truth. It's fake, and that's where it is. And she hasn't come out to say, you know, well, no, this is a person I was talking to, not that one, but from the surveillance videos and everything, it doesn't show her going around hugging anybody or whatever. So that was a kind of a Debbie Downer, because I thought, man, what a great story, what a great thing, and then you find out it's not even probably real. That's why this conversation's not easy, because you wave through a lot of stuff, and then you try to find out, well, is it real? Did this happen? Did this not happen? Is this, you know, because there's so many media outlets now. And we're going to move on, folks, because I'm going to talk a little bit about celiac disease and, you know, wheat intolerances and stuff, because since I was recently diagnosed, I've been doing tons of research, and, you know, sometimes, like when I started a nutritionist, I learned some things, but then at the same time, I feel like I got more questions and answers, you know, when you, okay, well, when you've read and you've seen Mayo Clinic things and stuff, and reading stuff like the Cleveland Clinic, and they say this and this, and she contradicts, well, I don't really believe this, and I don't, you know, because she's one of those people that believes, unless you're very, very highly sensitive to wheat, if you're to work in a bakery, the flour in the air, you ingesting that by breathing in the air will not contaminate you. Unless you're highly, and everything I've read saying if you got celiac disease, that's contaminate you. To what extent? I guess that's the thing some people don't realize, don't know, like what extent. And that's one question I don't know, is like how allergic am I? You know, like, is that something? Because I think they want you to be very, 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 very cautious from everything I've read, from like Mayo Clinic to Cleveland Clinic to celiac.org, because in case you accidentally get cross-contaminated by something, like, well, you eat this and it has natural flavorings, but the natural flavoring is barley malt, you don't realize it, and you get cross-contaminated by something that you don't realize, then, you know, you're not like, well, I'm gluten-free 99% of the time, I'm just going to cheat this one or two times, but, well, actually, you don't realize that this has it and this hasn't, you don't even realize it, and you're taking it, or, you know, and it's a hidden gluten or wheat or rye or barley, and you're, okay, I didn't realize that. Or you get something and, well, this batch ended up saying gluten-free, but it's not, and now the company is, you know, recalling it, and you've eaten it, and you've been contaminated, and I think that's why they, you know, say to be very careful for the times that you're not, for the times that you get cross-contamination and you're not careful. You know, and like the dietitian, she was like, well, you know, if you're a kid, your villi in your small intestine will heal really fast. But from, I mean, she sounded like, you know, it heals way faster than what I've read about studies, where it's like in 2 years, it's like a third of the villi heals itself. And in 5 years, 2/3. But like most people, if you have celiac disease, very rarely does anyone ever fully recover, but they get better. They get way better. But, and, you know, like, from what I've also read, like, you can have damage even if you feel good. So you can feel like you're doing great, but you can have damage being done. So, you know, I think it's hard, because you got to wade through all this I think a lot of it is unknowns. They because you really have to sit down, okay, we're going to put you in a room and we're going to throw dust in the air, and then we're going to do a scoping and do a biopsy, and then we're going to put you in that room, and we're going to do that for like 3 or 4 months, and then we're going to scope you again and biopsy you and see if there's change or whatever. That's how you'd have to do it. You know, I don't think they have the ability to go down with a scope into the stomach and really look at the villi very closely, since you don't have to cut it out, because that's what I'm understanding. They take a piece of the villi out and they look at it and they say, okay, yeah. And I think they can look at some of it via the, when they actually scope, I think they do have to biopsy some to see the level of it. So, but it's just a lot of, I think because it's semi-new, you know, it's not that it's new because it's been around for a while, but it's semi-new that they're having to look at stuff and, you know, and try to figure out. Because, like, my mom was basically told, throw away all your pots and pans and everything, and she, I don't really necessarily believe in that. Like a toaster I can see, because there's lots of spots where crumbs can hide that's almost impossible to get rid of, and, you know, some people believe in, okay, if I'm gluten-free, if I have to be gluten-free, my wife has to be. Some people say, oh, well, as long as you do yours first and hers or whatever, you know, and you're very careful, you can be okay. So who knows? Because you're going to get one person that says it's okay, and another person says no in a million years. I mean, I understand, like, if she wants to cook a pizza and I cook a pizza and they're different, to me, that's, I can see that being not as bad as opposed to, okay, she wants to use real flour, you know. That would be something where I think you would have the issue if you're trying to use something like flour. But, like, I think just using, like, a pizza where hers is not gluten-free and mine is, I can see where that shouldn't be an issue. But then if you're severely allergic, it may be. Who knows? Until I find out more, because it's, like, January 19th is as soon as I can get in to see the gastroenterologist and see what he's going to do or whatever. I'm just going to keep you guys posted. I guess I just try to do this because like when I, you know, I just try to educate. I mean, when I was diagnosed with the myopathy, I'm like, I needed so much help. And now look at me. I have so many people helping other people, and it's just amazing. Yep, it is. Yes, he is. And like I made, like Tuesday, me and my wife had date night. And that was fun. Is like she never seen the movie Flywheel, and if you've ever seen Courageous or the Love Dare movie or Facing the Giants, that's what I call it, the Love Dare movie. I'm trying to think of Fireproof. You know, it's their or the newest one, War Room, which my wife's like, I need to buy that. That I'm like, here's the pre-order book, and it's on pre-order December 18th. You can get it because we saw it at the theater. But it's their very first movie, the Sherwood Baptist Pictures. And it was basically started because the guy was like, you know what? I want to talk to you today, folks, about movies. Movies are the most influential thing in the world today. Well, that's why tobacco companies would spend millions of dollars putting their cigarettes in the movies. Because if kids see someone smoking, hey, I want to follow my hero. Well, why not do a movie where, hey, look at this guy. He's struggling like I am. How did he turn around? A lot of it's based on real things because the guy that the car lot that they did, Mac George Motor Cars, he was actually a believer at Sherwood Baptist Church, and he actually gave his lot to the Lord one month because he had a really bad time. And he gave his lot to the Lord, running on biblical principles, and you know, and there was some lady that was having so many problems with bills and stuff and medical and all this that he wrote the title and gave it to her to help her out. You know, and that was written into the movie. He actually oversaw that because it actually happened. So he actually oversaw the scene and wrote the scene out. And, you know, so it's a great movie. So, like, it's a wonderful movie. So if you've seen like Courageous or any of those movies, you know, Facing the Giants, Fireproof, or the any of those, check it out if you've never seen it. It was done with $20,000. And like when you see the cranes that they have the camera on, they built all that. Janet Lee Dapper's husband built all that. Like they took like PVC pipes and they put like they made a track from that, and then they put like a board on it, and that's what they would move back and forth with the camera to keep it still, like they do in the movies. He just saw what the film people used, and he made stuff from Home Depot. I mean, everything that happened in that, it was God to make that movie, because like they had so many things happen, like the Janet Lee Dapper's first kid, when she had it, she was on like 7 weeks of bed rest, and they said, "Do you want to do this movie?" She goes, "I'm afraid if I do this, this might happen, and you know, production might be halted and all this," and everything just worked out. And it was, what they did was every day, even after, when they got home, they would pray. God was into that movie 1,000,000%. I just thought I'd bring that up, you know, because I made some gnocchi and gluten-free, and it's just because I've had people at work that know about it, and they're like, "Well," I'm like, "No Twizzlers." And someone goes, "What do you mean no Twizzlers?" I'm like, "Twizzlers contain wheat." I don't know what I'm going to do, because I'm one of those people that I like Wayne. I'm like Garth from Wayne's World. You know, I want to have my little Twizzler dispenser and just like cut the thing off. And I love them. I used to eat those things by like the bag full. I'd be like, my wife would be like, "Are you okay?" "No, I just don't feel great because I ate too many. I need another Twizzler." I'd eat them till I was sick, and I'd still eat them because they're the best. Mm-hmm. Not no more. I had to go to rehab. Anywho, but yeah, I mean, it's nuts when you have to think about it. As I get back to the celiac and the wheat, I mean, you really have to look. And that's the one thing I was surprised the dietitian couldn't answer, because I'm like, "Well, I'm supposed to be in a wheat-free, gluten-free diet. Can I have corn gluten?" Well, I'm not sure about that. So I'll probably on my next day off call the celiac foundation and say, "Hey, we got a vegetarian base at work and it says contains corn gluten. Is that acceptable?" Because I was assumed I was only trying to avoid like wheat gluten. Who knows? I mean, that's things that will that as you get diagnosed with something that you're new to, that you're not really familiar with, that you have to kind of go through and like, "Okay, well, can I have this? Can I have that?" And it's just not. But it's part of life, and it's all for, things happen for a reason, so. That's enough about that, you know, it's just amazing. And you take for granted if you're healthy, and you don't, I mean, because I've never had to really look at a menu, and okay, well, I've never had to look at really, I mean, like when you're a vegetarian, yeah, you have to just kind of look to see maybe is there gelatin or something. Not as much as looking for hidden wheats and, you know, a lot of things like that, so. Well, I mean, like even Crest, they've, because of pressure, they've taken out things out of their, like, mouthwashes and stuff that are supposedly, like, very bad and all this. Moving on. Moving on, folks. Now to some football, as everyone's got an opinion about Louis Van Gaal. You know, there's actually evidence that Swansea City is very, very eager to talk to Ryan Giggs about managing, and there's a bunch of comments and people going back and forth. "Well, you know, we need to get rid of Van Gaal. We need to get Ryan Giggs in there," and da-da-da. I'm like, "Well, maybe Swansea is the experience he needs." I mean, if you want him to run Manchester United, okay. Then I'm assuming that you believe that he's ready to manage the team. You know, it'd be neat to see him at like a Swansea. I mean, I want to see him at United. I think he could manage the team one day. Is he really ready to run the team now? I don't know if he's physically ready. If he, you know, I think he would do a great job. I mean, it'd be neat, you know, have him run the under 21 club and see how they do, you know, or if you need to see him out like a Swansea and see what he does and see how he, see if he's, you know, because Louis Van Gaal is not bad. And this is something that was posted via the Facebook Manchester United page. And this is, this goes for anybody. Okay? If you can't support us when we lose, don't support us when we win. I actually, a friend of mine and I, we went to go see the Indianapolis Pacers. And I got some good seats, like $50 seats. And because they were not doing that great and they were, and the seats were available, the ushers let us move down to like the $600 seats, like five from floor, because they weren't sold. And he goes, you guys are the true, because anyone can fill this damn stadium when they're very good and they're winning ball games, but it's the people like you that are here when there's nothing, when they're nobody, when they, when they're down and they're rebuilding and they're trying to get players and trying to learn to play together. You know, anyone can fill Lucas Oil Stadium. You know, anyone can fill Rossade Stadium when the team is doing really good. Where are the people backing the team when they need it most? You know, I support my Reds, win, lose, or draw. You know, and let me see. Okay, let's say we got to the, let's say we got out of the group stage to the 16 eliminations. Okay, the 16 team elimination. We couldn't be a, we couldn't, you know, if we got past the group stage, we couldn't have beaten PSV Eindhoven. Hey, no way we would beat Real Madrid or a Barcelona. We were like a 16th seed getting into the NCAA tournament. We're getting into the tournament to play one game to lose to a number one seed. I believe a number one seed could lose to a 16th seed, but I don't, I could see it happening, but I don't, it's going to be, it's, it'd be a shock. I'd be shocked if it ever happened, but at the same time, I could see it happening, you know. I mean, we're fourth in the Premier League. We're showing improvement. It's not like we're going backwards. I mean, they kept up with Wolfsburg. The only problem is like, the vibe I got from the team is like when Manchester United scored, they just let their guard down, like, yes, yeah, all right. And Wolfsburg just took advantage. While they're all still on cloud nine from scoring, we're just going to run down the field and bang. And that's what happened. Louis Van Gaal, I think he's recognizing that that's going on, and he's going to address that. Just like Alex Ferguson would, like, hey, you know, if you ever saw the movie Hoosiers, you know, after all, he makes that second shot, and you will make that second shot, get back on defense really quick because it just might give him enough chance to throw a desperation toss. You know, and that's what you got to, just because you score, you got to, okay, you got to snap right back. Okay, now we got to kick it in the gear, because now we got to get 2-0, or else they could easily make it 1-1, then we're level again. You know, we're not bad. We're improving. Louis Van Gaal's turned around every team he's ever managed. Sorry, he's not a to Alex Ferguson that was there 25 years. Sorry, he's not. You're trying to compare him to a Manchester United when they had a coach that was there for so long, that had a system, you know, that had players that were there for a long time. You know, if Louis Van Gaal was not kicking butt 4 years from now, okay. You know, but you're trying to compare apples and oranges, in my opinion, and it's not, you know, Because then you're going to try to bring someone else in here, and then he's going to say, well, I don't like this player because, you know, this is who Le'Veon Hall got, and I don't want these three people, so I'm going to try to trade them and try to bring my own people, you know, and try to... And then I just finally got accustomed to playing with this person and knowing where he was on the pitch so that I could pass him the ball without him looking so that, you know, that the other team doesn't have a clue. And then, I don't... It's just, I mean... It's just ridiculous. I mean, the team is great, but so many people, you know, to me, the games are as exciting as ever. I remember there was times when it's like, okay, well, no one scored at Old Trafford in like 50 home games. Okay, we're going to win. It's just by how much. You know, now it's like, well, are we going to win? What's, you know, Leicester City, holy cow. Who thought Chelsea would be where they are? I mean, it's exciting. Everything's upside down and right side up. It's just like in the NFL. Who would have thought the Cincinnati Bengals would be where they were? Who thought the Colts would stink like they do? Now, Detroit, that's, you know, them beating good old Green Bay. I love that. But who would have ever guessed? I used to have friends that would actually put like $20 on like the worst team, because like you can bet like in Vegas like on the worst team. They put like, and if they win the Super Bowl, it's like sometimes like 10,000 to 1 or whatever. And if you put $20, and if like the Detroit Tigers would actually go to the Super Bowl and win, you get like, you know, but like whoever the worst team would be. But it never happens, so they're always out. $20. The one day that it would happen, you know, guess what? That'd be fun, yeah. Got about 6 minutes and 40 seconds left in the program, folks. Thank you all for tuning in, and, you know, I wish Giggsy the best no matter what he does. Ryan Giggs, I think he'll make a great manager. I want to see him get some experience. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I could see him going and taking over Manchester United after Louis van Gaal leaves. I could see two things. I could see him either doing he's either gonna fall flat on his butt, or he's gonna be decent, and he's gonna make lots of mistakes, and he's gonna learn from them. You know, and he's going to improve, and he's going to get better. You know, no one's going to be a Sir Alex Ferguson or a Sir Alex Ferguson overnight. No one. You know, if Ryan Giggs ends up being like a Sir Alex Ferguson, it'll be down the road when he gains experience or whatever, and he's going to be his own person. And that's what people got to realize. And, you know, I mean, that's so many, it's like they're stuck in the past, okay? You know, I hate to admit this, but Sir Alex is no longer the manager. You got to move on, folks. And that's where I leave the football conversation. And I want to get to a quick thing that I hope you do. I'm doing it, and a lot of people are going to do it. There's a lady by the name of, where is it? Safraye, S-A-F-Y-E. Wait, it's S-A-F-Y-R-E. And her P.O. box is 6126 Shakerty, New York, 123, what is it? Schenectady, New York, 12306. And Schenectady is spelled S-C-H. Schenectady. And this girl was burned badly in an arson attack. She's only one of the family that's living, and her dream is to just, for Christmas, get a bunch of Christmas cards and be shown some love. And it's been on K-Love, and it's all over the internet, and churches are getting together, and they're writing a bunch of cards. She wants to put them on her tree, and we're going to be bombarding her with thousands of cards, minimum. So I think it's going to be cool. I got some Christmas cards, and I'm going to write one and have my wife sign it, me sign it, and send it out. And I think it's a great thing that she's going to be able to see the love of God through all of us, and to realize that she's not alone, that there are people here that you know, that there's always going to be someone that's going to be there for you and what you're going through. And I think it was just, it's just what she's gone through in the whole ordeal. It's just sad, but this is just going to hopefully brighten her day. It's going to be great. It is. I think it's just wonderful, you know. And there's about 3 minutes left in the program, folks, and, you know, and that's a true story. You know, it's actually, I don't know why people just feel like they have to make stuff up. Like, I'm going to be the next internet sensation. You know, I don't know. You know, because look at all the, you know, celebrity doesn't buy happiness, folks. Yeah, I think that lady, the page, I think she would have been like, well, they actually looked into it. Well, yeah, because maybe they want to find out who the employee is, and maybe that Walmart wants to help them. If you ever think about that, maybe people want to know, well, who's this kid? Maybe we want to help out this kid who doesn't have, a mother now. And having, I want to know what's going on. And then when they probably, and I bet you more than Walmart investigated it to probably help the kid out. And that's when they found out that, hey, this is a hoax. You know? I, like I said, I'm going. I don't understand this world. I don't. Oh, America hasn't changed. Far from it, folks. I don't even understand the country I live in. There's things that I never in a million years would have thought would happen. Got about 90 seconds left in the program, you know. And I just want to thank you all again for tuning in. Hope you're having a great holiday season. Yes, although I got to. Because I didn't do the Secret Santa where I guess the kitchen is doing it with the servers and stuff, and I didn't even think about it. And this girl's like, oh, I was going to get you a Kyle Busch thing for your Secret Santa. And I said, oh, so you mean I got to tell you what I'm getting? Well, you're not doing the Secret Santa thing. I said, no, I'm not doing the Secret Santa thing, but it doesn't mean I can't get you a Matt Kenseth jacket. She goes, she had some choice words because she hates Matt Kenseth. And I'm like, oh, yep, I hate Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch, but. I mean, I'm grateful for what Kyle Busch did. I mean, it's amazing what he did. He's a true athlete, but, you know, it's just not my favorite driver. But, you know, it's just she hates Matt Kenseth. I'm getting you a jacket. And she goes, I'm getting you like a Kyle Busch or Jimmy Johnson towel. I'm like, cool, I can wash my car with it. Yeah, that's what NASCAR fans do for each other. We find out their least favorite driver, and then we buy them stuff in it for Christmas. But that's NASCAR for you, folks. You know, and it is Secret Santa. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Y'all have a great evening. And until next week, good night and God bless. Goodbye.